Holy Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your high, holy Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for all the brethren of like precious faith. We thank you, Father, for the blessings from on high, that you've given us the power to be here, that you've given us the safe passage. And, Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds and receive the implanted word that you've prepared for us this day. We know, Father, that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns and a short time before this world is in chaos and at the end. So, Father, strengthen your people. We ask that you would protect us. According to your word, you said that you would cover us in your tabernacle and that you would hide us from these things that are coming upon the world. So we thank you, Father, for the blessings from on high. We ask, Father, that you would guide us and teach us from your word. Show us the things that we need to know. And we ask, Father, that you would bless us as your family members, as your children who have come to you seeking protection and your blessings from on high. We thank you for Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior, and his shed blood, which covers all of our sin. So help us, Father, that we would not sin willfully, but that we would be sincere and repentant servants of yours as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Again, bless those throughout the world that have a petition before you, those that are on the prayer list, those that who don't know you, Father, that would like to get to know you. We ask that you would draw them to you, and that you would enlighten them through your word and through this ministry. So we ask that you'd bless, and as we seek and pray for the peace of Jerusalem in this ministry, we ask that you would bless us and watch over each and every one of us. It's in Yahshua's holy name. We ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Can we all be seated? Again, we want to thank everybody that has come out to worship Almighty Yahweh. It takes a lot this day and age and this time for people to not only keep the covenant, but to do what they can to serve Yahweh. I'd like to stand on this thing. This is Yahweh's family. This is his family reunion. Yahweh's family is his basic support system. We want what is best for our family. And Yahweh wants what is best for all of us. The kingdom. The family is an intimate connection that we have with a particular group of people with whom we hold close our hearts. Of course, those we love are also going to be those we hate as well. You think about it, because those who you're closest to are the ones that get under your skin the most. They're the ones that's going to cause us more problems. Okay? But truly, we're supposed to love even our enemies, which we know is very difficult to do. But Yahweh's people will be able to do it. And Deuteronomy is determinedly there. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 and 17. Deuteronomy 16, 13 to 17. It says, you shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast. you and your son and your daughter, and your manservant and your maidservant, and the Levite and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within your gate. 7 days shall you keep a feast to Yahweh your Elohim in the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh your Elohim will bless you in all your increase and in all the work of your hands, and you shall be altogether joyful. So we're supposed to be overjoyed, brethren, to be here, and I know each and every one of you are, because I am, that's for sure. I love my brother. I do. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahweh, your Elohim, in the place which he shall choose. And this is the second time we see that, which Yahweh shall choose, in the place where Yahweh shall choose. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh, your Elohim, which he has given to you. And we know that Yahweh has blessed us. We know that Yahweh has blessed us. One of the things that I've dealt with this year with a lot of people, especially my own kids, you know, they complain about their finances, they've been complaining about what they don't have. You know, that's only in America. You know, where everybody else in the third world is struggling with just meeting their needs. They're not concerned with, you know, when we think about what we don't have, we're talking about the toys, the little things, you know, because we have our basic needs to met. We have houses to live in, our food is sure, we have food to eat. We have clothes on our back. You know, he gives us the money, but, you know, a lot of us in America are only concerned with, you know, vacations, some college tuition, things like that. You know, but like I said, the basics we don't really worry about. You think about it. The poor in America are rich. They have a lot more than the people throughout the world in the third world. But Yahweh is trying to get the attention of his people. You know, we're Yahweh's people. This is his family reunion. And that's why I read this passage about in the place where he should choose. It's not about what we choose. See? And I know in the worldwide, a long time ago, or, you know, I don't know what's going on now, but most of the feast sites that they chose were sites where, you know, they were resorts. They were pleasurable things going on, theme parks and things of that nature, so that the people would have a good time. See, but we're here for a specific purpose. That's to worship Yahweh, to, as his family members, draw closer to him. And that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is about. It's a type of the kingdom of Yahweh, okay? And everybody's not going to be in the kingdom. So we don't have to worry about that, right? Only those that have overcome, they're going to be there. The right people will be there. See, that's why we don't fret and worry about who's not here. We have to be concerned with who is here and why we're here. Because our purpose is to serve Yahweh. Our purpose is not to please man. And then too often that happens with people. They're too busy trying to please each other instead of pleasing Yahweh. See? So the purpose of this, Yahweh's family reunion, it's for us to come together and rejoice, because it says that in the passage, to rejoice. Turn to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. We'll start there. It says, you shall therefore keep. That word keep is shamer in Hebrew. It means to guard. Okay? All my statutes and all my ordinances, and do them,
that the land where I bring you to dwell in vomits you not out. And that land that we're going to is the kingdom of God. See? And you shall not walk in the customs of the nations which I cast out before you. For they did all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I've said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess. A land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh the Elohim who has separated you from the people. You shall therefore make a distinction between the clean beasts and the unclean, between the unclean fowl and the clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by bird or by anything which the ground teems, which I have separated from you as unclean. And we all do that. We keep the clean food laws. We're very, very particular about what we put in our mouth, because Yahweh told us that we have to eat kosher, right? Eat clean food. So we read labels. We make sure that we don't defile ourselves with something unclean. That's why that term shamer means to guard. We're going to guard our physical being from being polluted by something unclean. We make a distinction between the holy and the common. And we, the people of Yahweh, his family, are a holy people. That's the separation. We are a holy people. Okay? And it says in verse 26, and you shall be holy to me, for I, Yahweh, am holy. And we know this. Yahweh is three times holier than man, according to Isaiah, where it says, holy, holy, holy. He's three times holier than man can ever be. And have set you apart from the peoples that you should be mine. Yahweh has chosen you to be his people. This message is entitled Yahweh's People. See, Yahweh's people, the people will come together for the family reunion. I mean, we have our own personal family reunions within our families throughout back in the world, but there's a special relationship here between Yahweh and his people. And that special relationship is the covenant. We're willing to keep that covenant. We're willing to do the things that Yahweh asks us to do. Leviticus chapter 23, we'll read the law concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus 23, we'll read down to 44. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month is the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to Yahweh. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation to you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work. These are the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, to offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, a burnt offering and a meal offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, and drink offerings, each on its own day, besides the Sabbath of Yahweh, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows. We looked at all vows on Yom Kippur, because that was the day of all vows, to understand that we make these vows to Yahweh. We can't break them. See? And that particular day, we even dealt with that. Yahweh, through Yahshua the Messiah, cleansed even our willful sins. I'm not talking about the through them too. Talk about the unpardonable sin. Now, talk about sins, because these sins are sins that we're talking about that are not pre-planned. Okay? They happen. But you think about David when he saw Bathsheba bathing on that rooftop. He saw it. It clicked. He knew the law. Did the law say, David, you know you're not supposed to do that? He went and requested, said, get that woman up here. He called for her. But what I'm saying is, when people sin, and that's what I'm trying to get people to understand, it's not even, it has to go, and I'm speaking of adultery because that's something that you have to think of first before you act. It's not like it's an accident. You accidentally fell in bed with that person. This is something that took some planning to get to, okay? But it's still not the unpardonable sin, even though it was premeditated to an extent, okay? And that's why I'm bringing it out like this, because what Yahshua did for us was cleanse that sin. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it's the murder, because Paul had people killed, you know, and he was one of Yahweh's favorites. I mean, Yahshua is holy, you know. Even after all he did, I want you. And he turned him around 180 degrees. Paul was one of the most sincere servants of Almighty Yahweh. And he gave his life like the rest of them, even though he was on the opposite side. He was very zealous for Yahweh, even when he was wrong. And he knew the law. They all knew the law. That's one thing about the Jewish people you have to understand. They know the covenant. But see, it has to be more than just rote, more than what we've been taught. It has to be here. It has to be practiced. It has to have that love. Because when you love, okay, and that was for some of them. Jonah, when he went to Nineveh. Peter, when he went to Cornelius. I never had any dealings with the Gentiles. And now I'm told to eat with them, to do things with these people. And it's not that they were prejudiced. It was that the Jews had no relations with these people because they were unclean. And what Yahweh is telling us to do, there is a distinction between the clean and the unclean. But guess what? It's not about the people. See? It's not about those things that we've been taught, we've been raised to believe. What it's about is love. It's about me loving you, regardless of our background difference. I don't care if you're Chinese, Japanese, Indian, whatever. See, the love of Yahweh will supersede each and every one of those prejudices. What Yahweh wants us to do as Yahweh's people. Okay? And it doesn't matter where we're from, is to keep the feast as his people. Okay? And what did Yahshua say when they say, your mother's outside and your brethren? He says, my brethren are those who do the will of Almighty Yahweh. It wasn't a physical relationship thing here. See, and I love my family dearly. Trust me, and I know each and every one of you know this. But I love Yahweh more. Yahweh is what we're about. And this is why we're here in Gulf Shore, Alabama. Now, many people, and I've talked to many people this year, and I've tried to prepare many people, and I told you about the brother in Missouri. You know, there was a reason that they couldn't be here. They wanted to be here. And they would have had, you know, this thing been overcome. And he told me that next year they're going to be with YPTC wherever we are. And I'm going to hold them up to it because, you know, that was a vow made to me, but before Yahweh. So I know that it's not about who you are or where you are. It's about your love for Yahweh. And if we love Yahweh, we're going to follow and go to the place that he shall choose. Okay? Not where we choose, but where he chooses. And it says on verse 39, on the 15th day of the seventh month, you have gathered in the fruits of the land. You shall keep the feast of Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. and you shall have taken on the first day the fruit of good trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of fig trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh. Got my people on video conference. I'm sorry, folks. I got them blocked out because I had another screen up. Okay. And we didn't talk to the administration here about putting up stuff on the building, you know, to decorate the tabernacles, but that's something we could still talk to them about. But this is, we can do it on our cottages. We can do it on our cabin. We can decorate over there. You know, we're going to put the branches of palm trees and boughs of fig trees and the willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh Elohim 7 days. And that's what we're doing. We're going to rejoice before Yahweh. We're thankful to be here. See, we know that Yahweh is with us. And the reason we know that is because he allowed us to be here. See? It was easy for us not to come. It was easy for us to give up. And I'm telling you, Satan put a lot of pressure. And Willie can tell you, I was on the phone with my wife, and Willie was sitting there, and she said, you should be here with me. And I said, no, I'm where Yahweh wants me to be. And you know what? Satan knows what's in our heart. He knows how to try to get to us. And I love my wife, too. But I love Yahweh more. And I know that I'm supposed to be here with Yahweh, and that's why I'm here, you know. And this will continue because Yahweh is the one that's guiding me. He's the one that's guiding this ministry. See, Yahweh is great. And when you think of all that he's brought us through, Satan's been trying to destroy this ministry for a long time. He has not been successful. And what they don't see and what they don't understand is we got 300 to 400 brethren over in Kenya worshiping Yahweh right now. And they're part of YPCC. He's opening the door for us right now in India to go over and bring more people into YPCC. What I'm trying to show you is that it's not about what people see. And this is what happens. People are blinded because they're going around living by only what they can see themselves. And it's not about what you can see with your eyes. It's what you can see with your heart. And I'm telling you, Yahweh is truly with this ministry. And he's building it up. Even here, we have some visitors that are supposed to be here. They'll be here next service. But he's with this ministry. He's blessing us because we are being sincere. We're doing what he asked us to do. And it says right here, and you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh 7 days in a year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations, and you shall keep it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am Yahweh your Elohim. And Moses declared to the children of Israel to set feast of Yahweh. You shall keep the feast at the appointed time in the appointed place. You know, some people we know kept it in the 6 months. Matter of fact, the largest sacred name group of the bunch kept it in the 6 months. And what's going to happen in the spring, when we see the green ears, after our 12th month, we see the green ears. They will have kept 14 months before that happened. Don't you think the people will figure it out and say, hey, they were wrong? You understand? So Yahweh is leading us. He's the one that's giving us this grace and giving us this knowledge to do his will. There are many people out here who are blinded. You know, oh, we have to see it in Jerusalem only. Jerusalem, okay? Now, and I'm talking about the new moon as well. And the reason I'm saying it, and I'm bringing that up for this purpose, as far as keeping the holy days, we know that if you wait that next day after it's been cited, your day off. And we're supposed to be keeping Yahweh's feast days and keeping them right. And Yahweh has given us that knowledge. It doesn't matter. As long as we have a sighting, and because you've got brethren who could be all over the world. We have people in the Philippines. We have people here in Kenya. If they see that new moon, they're 8 hours ahead of us. Jerusalem is 6 hours. But say they saw it in Kenya. They didn't see it in Jerusalem. You could only have 30 days in a month. So we saw it on the 29th. So it would have to be the 30th day, the next day, even if they didn't see it. You understand? So but what I'm saying is we have to follow and do what Yahweh tells us to do. And we have to walk with that, and because that's very important. And we've lost brethren over that in the past because they said, well, they have to see it, and they are. And we said, no, it was already silent. You agree that if we saw this new moon, any of the brethren, and it was seen in Kenya that year, but we also took the sightings of the Muslims, which we agreed we would take, you know, because they've been looking for the new moon for thousands of years, and they know how to do it. And guess what? It turned out right. The two witnesses, we didn't find out about the brethren in Africa until we went to Africa, which was months later. And they confirmed what the Muslims had told us, and that we had sanctified the new moon at the right time. Because that means that we're in faith with Yahweh. The seventh month, the new moon of the seventh month, is trumpet. That's a very important day. Okay? That's very important. And that's why we got to get it right. And that's what we're doing. But like I said, there are other groups out there that don't believe, if they don't see it themselves, they can't do it. But, you know, or it has to be seen in Jerusalem, and that's the only date that's sighting they don't go by. And that's why I'm saying, no, we don't do that. We accept the sightings as they come. As long as we're going to go along with that. And that's following according to the scriptures. See? And as Yahweh's people, we want to get it right. You know, we're not above saying, hey, we made a mistake. We're wrong about this or that. And repenting, that's what it's about. You know, when you get to a point where you get so haughty or you think, well, hey, I can't be wrong, Yahweh's going to set you down. He's going to humble you. And we want to be lifted up. We want to be the humble ones that are lifted up. And that's why we try to do what we can to be Yahweh's people, to be faithful in everything that we do. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, if there is therefore any exhortation in the Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy, that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting the other better than himself. Yahweh wants a humble people, brethren. And that's what we're trying to be. That's what we're trying to do. Not looking each to your own thing, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in the Messiah Yahshua, who, existing in the form of Elohim, counted not the being on an equality with Yahweh a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. Satan was just the opposite. He wanted to put his throne above that of the Most High, Ezekiel 28. He wanted to ascend above the Most High. Think about it. We want to be more like Yahshua. We want to be the humble servant. We're not going to be puffed up. We're going to keep his covenant, each and every commandment. Have this mind in you, which was also in the Messiah, like I said, who, existing in the form of Elohim. In other words, he was Yahweh's son. He could have said, I am. You understand? He had a right, but he didn't do it. He humbled himself, and this is why we have such an example of someone that humble. That he went to the torture stake for each and every one of us. He did it for Yahweh's people. He did it for us. And being in verse 8, found in the fashion of a man, as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even to death, yes, the death of the torture stake. Therefore also Yahweh highly exalted him and gave to him the name which is above every name. That in the name of Yahshua every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Yahshua the Messiah is master to the glory of Yahweh the Father. But we're all one family. This is Yahweh's family. Yahshua is a part of it. The angels are a part of it. And we are a part of it. We have to be Yahweh's people by being covenant keeping. We should be rejoicing because we have been blessed enough to be here at the Feast of Tabernacles. So in verse 12, so then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's something we have to do individually. We have to work out our own salvation. But guess what? We're brethren. We're going to help one another. If I see Willie in need or having a problem, or Trent, or Brenda, or Kyle, or Christine, it's my obligation to help my brother, just like they've been helping me, you know, with my walk. Trust me, you know, I may have gone through something that you're going through, and I can help you through it. See, because, you know, back in the days when I was selling real estate, the most successful real estate agents were one that prepared their people. And when I say prepared their people, for what was coming, when you told the person, hey, you're going to have buyer's remorse. You're going to have it so bad that you're going to want to grow up. You're going to want to cancel this deal at whatever cost. I don't care. You're going to want to shut it down because it is an emotional thing that you're going through. You just write the check. You're just signing money away. But it's the most money I've ever spent in my life. You understand? And you're going to question that judgment. You're going to question that decision, even though it's a good decision to have your home to rent. Okay? But you're going to question it to the extent that you're going to want to get out that deal. And you're going to want to walk away, and the good angels will prepare you because you're going to want to walk away. True, I don't know of anybody that I've sold a house to that did not want to walk away. I don't care if it was a great deal. They wanted to walk away because it's called buyer's remorse. It's going to happen. It happens to every one of us. But let me tell you something else. Satan is also going to try to prepare you. He's going to be whispering in your ear as well when you're trying to get to the kingdom and say, well, you know, you really don't have do all that. You know? There's another way. And you don't have to do that for your brother over there or your sister over there because they should have been prepared. They should have had all their ducks in a row. You understand? Not knowing that he was the one that tripped them up in the first place and caused them the problem that they didn't have their ducks in a row. So what you have to understand is regardless of what they're going through, if we love one another, which is what Yahshua wants us to do, that's the people he's looking for. When he comes back, he's looking for those who have the love of the brethren. We're not going to question what this person should have done. Guess what? We're going to help him. we're going to be there for. And that's why we're Yahweh's people. Because we don't care what Satan is whispering in our ear saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. Forget those people. What do you tell us? He tells us in his word, we have to love the unlovely. We got to love our enemy. You know, I hear this often, especially with all these grandkids I have. You know, if somebody is doing something to you, you just do whatever back to them. And I said, no, you can't do that. We can't teach them that. He said, well, you know, they said, well, you know, they're going to get run over. You're too nice. I'm accused of being too nice. Me and my daughter, Kaya, we're in the same boat. We always are accused of being too nice. But you know what? I think Yahweh's given us something that the rest of them don't seem to have. We are concerned with people. We're concerned with, you know, what you're going through. And if we're concerned, there's a reason for that concern. Satan can easily try to talk you out of whatever it is you're trying to do. But I'll tell you this. When you do that thing, it's a blessing every time. There's no wrong time to do the right thing. It's always in season to do the right thing. And Yahweh's people do the right thing all the time. And the ones that don't, like Peter, when he denied Yahshua, there was a reason for it. But Yahshua told him it was going to happen. He told him Satan wants to sift you as wheat. You know? But he also told him, you know what? Before the cock crows, three times. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. Did it hurt Peter? Absolutely. Did it make Peter a better servant? Absolutely. So he overcame. Did Paul not have to come to Peter? He came to Peter twice and told him, you got to get back in line. Now, this is an apostle to an apostle. You have to get back in line. You're trying to lead people or put on a show that you're not who you're supposed to be. You know, because you're a Jew and you're in relationship with a Gentile, and then you're going to turn your back on your brethren who are Gentiles? No, you're all Yahweh's people. You're one. There's no Jew or Gentile. You're all Yahweh's people. And that's what Peter came to understand. And when he was put to death, he said he wasn't even worthy to be put to death on the stake like Yahshua turned me upside down. You understand? But he died for Yahshua. And that's what I'm trying to get each and every one of us to understand. Our job is not for ourselves. See, we've been called with this calling to serve Almighty Yahweh. We're not called to serve ourselves. You can serve yourself, not the world. And that's the problem with too many people. They want the world, but the world can't save them. The world is not going to overcome Satan the devil. Because that's his playground. See? But Yahshua overcame Satan the devil, didn't he? And he overcame Satan for each and every one of us. In verse 13 of Philippians chapter 6, for it is Yahweh who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and questioning, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of Elohim, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's the difference. We have the word of life. For my exaltation in the day of the Messiah, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yes, and if I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy. That's what we're doing. We're joying. We're rejoicing. And rejoice with you all. And in the same manner do you also joy and rejoice with me. And that's what Yahshua wants. He wants us to rejoice with him because he's overcome the world. And truly, he has. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 3. Start there. We are bound to give thanks to Elohim always for you, brethren, even as it is proper, for that your faith grows greatly and the love of each one of you all toward one another increases. And that's what we want, brethren. We want to be like the Thessalonians who love their brethren. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the assemblies of Yahweh for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions which you endure. And what does it say in the scriptures? In Psalms it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh will deliver you out of them all. So it's not going to be a cakewalk. This is not going to be something that's easy. If that was the case, this place would be, we wouldn't have enough room in this place for everybody. If it was easy. Which in verse 5 is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, to the end that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of Yahweh. That's what this is a type of. And we're going to be counted worthy of that because we've overcome the world. We're here because we've overcome the world. And we're going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, for which you also suffer. If so be, that is the righteous thing with Yahweh to recompense affliction to them that afflict you. Because we are afflicted. And it tells us that in the Word. And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the sovereign Yahshua from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that do not know Yahweh and to them that do not obey the good tidings of our sovereign Yahshua. And that's the problem with most of the people. They don't know Yahweh. They think they do, but they don't know Yahweh. And the reason they don't know Yahweh, because they don't love their brothers, who they see, as it says in 1 John. How can we love Yahweh if we have problems or hate our brother, if we're holding grudges? Think about it. For us to be Yahweh's people, we have to be the ones that have overcome. We have to overcome this world. And once we've overcome this world, guess what? We're there. Verse 9, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of Yahshua and from the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony to you was believed in that day, to which end we also pray always for you, that our Elohim may count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire of goodness and work of faith with power, that the name of our Savior, Yahshua, may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our Elohim and Sovereign, Yahshua the Messiah. John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer. John chapter 17, we'll start at verse 1. Remember, we're Yahweh's people. That's what we're striving to be. We have to overcome this world in every aspect. But in John chapter 17, it says, verse 1, these things spoke Yahshua, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh. Over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he should give eternal life. Yahshua is the one that's going to give us eternal life. He's the one. As we overcome this world, we're doing the same thing that he did. We're walking in his footsteps. And this is life eternal, that they should know you, the only true Elohim, and him who you did send, even Yahshua the Messiah. Does the world know Yahshua? No. They're talking about the Jesus. They're talking about a whole bunch of other things. You know? They really don't know Yahshua. Think about it. And there's some very committed people. I'm not making fun of Christians. I'm just saying they don't have the knowledge or know Yahshua. There's a difference. When we teach the Bible, we teach it from a Hebrew perspective for a reason. Christians look at things from a different perspective because that's the perspective they've been taught. And that's why they have problems overcoming. That's why they have problems with sin. Because they are taught to violate the Sabbath by keeping Sunday. But when you keep the scriptures from a Hebrew perspective, you learn the covenant. You learn those commandments. You learn how to overcome the world. Verse 4 says, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you had given me to do. And now, Father, glorify you, me, with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. Those they were, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that all things, whatever you have given me, are from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them. And I knew of a truth that I came forth from you, and they believed that you did send me. For the world is believing. The leadership of the Jews did believe it. Some did because they were convinced, but the majority of them didn't believe it. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them, and I am no more in the world, and these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are, even as we are. And Yahshua and Yahweh are one because of the name of Yahweh. And think about it. This is why the Christians don't see eye to eye. They won't accept Yahweh's name. They won't accept the Sabbath. They won't accept the feast day. Well, that's too Jewish. But guess what? Salvation is of Yahweh. John 4:22. It's of Yahweh. It's of the Jews. You know, that took me over. And I told a story many times about my uncle who was Muslim that taught me about not eating pork. Oh, it's in the Bible. He showed me in the Bible. See? So he won a point there. But he didn't win where it said salvation was of the Jews, because that's also in the scripture. So can't be a Muslim. Can't be following Muhammad or Islam, because salvation is of Yahudim, worshiper of Yahweh. And that's what the Jew Yahudim means, Yehuda, one who praises Yah. Think about it. Verse 12, it says, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The son of perdition. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to come back to John 17, but turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. People of Yahweh are special. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. It says, now we entreat you, brethren, touching the coming of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, and our gathering together to him, to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind nor yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as from us, as that the day of Yahweh is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, except the falling away come first. And there will be a falling away, a great falling away. And the man of sin be revealed, and the son of perdition. He that opposes and exalts himself against all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of Elohim, setting himself forth as Elohim. He's going to set himself up as Almighty Yahweh. See? Don't you remember in verse 5 that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that which restrains to the end that he may be revealed in his own season. For the mystery of lawlessness already works, only there is one that restrains now until he be taken out of the way, and then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the sovereign Yahshua shall consume with the breath of his mouth. Yahshua is going to have the victory over Satan, over the man of sin, over all the works of the devil. Yahshua shall consume with the breath of his mouth and annihilate by the manifestation of his coming, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. That's the key. They receive not the love of the truth. They have the love of themselves. Satan has convinced them that they are right. See? But the scriptures tell us and show us that they're not. They're going to believe Satan and believe his lies, which Yahweh's people won't. They're going to overcome. It says in verse 9, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with the deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, Yahweh sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Back in John 17, we'll start back in verse 13. It says, But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. See, that truth means more than most people give credit. It means so much more. Your word is truth. As you did send me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. And Yahweh's people have been sanctified in the truth, brethren. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word. And that's our today, brother. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me, and the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you did send me, and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew you not, but I knew you. And these knew that you descended, and I made known to them your name, and will make it known that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Turn to 1 John chapter 4 as we bring this message to a close. 1 John chapter 4. This is about Yahweh's people. And these are people who have overcome the world. It said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirit, whether they are of Yahweh, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit that confesses that Yahshua, the Messiah, has come in the flesh is of Yahweh. And every spirit that confesses not Yahshua is not of Yahweh. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it comes. And now it is in the world already. You are of Yahweh, little children, Yahweh's people, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we have to keep that in mind, but greater is he that is in you than that he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of Yahweh. He that knows Yahweh hears us. He who is not of Yahweh does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of Yahweh, and everyone that loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He that loves not knows not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. In this was the love of Yahweh manifested in us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the atonement for each and every one of us. Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we live in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of the Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim lives in him, and he in Elohim. And we know that we have believed the love which Yahweh has in us. Yahweh is love, brothers. And he that lives in love lives in Yahweh, and Yahweh lives in him. And this is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear is punishment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love Yahweh whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves Yahweh loves his brother also. Our closing passage is in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Brethren, Yahweh's family is his people. His support system. That's what the family is. And each one of us has a position in that family to build up one another, to love one another, and to do Yahweh's will at all times. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you seek to serve him and do that which is right in his sight. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Willie McKelvey to come forth and close with a word of prayer. Would you all please rise?
Oh, Yahweh, we pause on this high day, first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Father, to give you thanks and praise that we all arrive safely to hear your words expounded, Father, by our beloved brother. Help us to take it to heart, to remember that we are a special people. Down from Israel all the way down, Father, you protected us. You made a promise. You kept that promise. You called us out of that world, Father. You called us home. Help us to maintain your covenant and your laws in our heart that we may be able to withstand the pull of the world, but have a heart and a mind to listen to that small, still voice and always keep your protection around your people wherever they are gathered, Father. And we ask this in your Son's name, Yahshua. Hallelujah.